Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Local Ambition Podcast, the podcast where we talk about anything relating local artists, how you can support them, and just anything relating to them. You are here with your hosts, Melissa.
Amara.
And we are here to talk about something pretty interesting, to be honest, that you'll probably ask, what is even the relationship to local artists? So, Amara, you're a girl. I'm a girl. That means that at some point we were teenage girls. So yep. Did you have like any artists that when you were like a teen, they were like your main, not obsession, but like something that you talked about a lot?
Yeah, but I wasn't like super into bands or like boy bands like a lot of people were. Mm-hmm. I was more of like a Lana stan and then also Marina and the Diamonds. Oh. I was obsessed. Like, that's all I listened to.
Oh, Marina and the Diamonds. Mm-hmm. I love her.
How about you? What was yours?
I wasn't into boy bands either because that was around my emo phase. Mm-hmm. So I was, and I'm still into 21 Pilots. They're mm-hmm. like my favorite band and one of my inspirations. But I want to think about someone else, but like I think Melanie Martinez, because I really like her.
Oh yeah, she was cool.
And I think like it's like around the same realm as Marina and the Diamonds, because it's like the chokehold that they mm-hmm. had on Tumblr, especially Lana.
Exactly.
Right?
So it's like, I feel like they had similar fan bases.
Yeah. But before we go any further, that is exactly the topic that we're going to be talking about. Teen girls and the service to the music industry, because they just are the biggest contributor to like what's in and what's not in the music world. Mm-hmm. It's insane. Have you looked at Tumblr, Twitter, stan accounts everywhere?
Mm-hmm. They're like the most, I mean, like dedicated fans of like any other group, I think.
No, yeah, yeah. And I know there's like, I wasn't able to find information on this, but there was also like the LGBTQ community, like with artists like Nicki Minaj.
Oh my gosh, yes.
And I'm missing somebody.
That's true.
I mean, I can mainly think about Nicki Minaj with the LGBT.
I'm trying to think. I guess like modern ones, well, not to say that Nicki isn't modern, but also like Charlie XCX. I feel like true. He's really big with the LGBT community
too. I don't know why I have this so ingrained in my mind that Lil Nas X used to have a Twitter account around Nicki Minaj. So I'm like, yeah, Nicki.
He was wild on there too.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. He was like a troll almost.
He's still kind of wild right now, yeah. But like in a different way. Mm-hmm.
You can see like the kind of like the stan culture in his modern tweets now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's
the types
this
of
one,
jokes he makes.
No, yeah, there was this one on tweet just going off the handle. There was this one tweet around the Vincent Van Gogh paintings being like tomato souped, mm-hmm. and he said all of Benjamin's Van Gogh, and it was like that Campbell soup painting.
Yeah,
and he photoshopped the Van Gogh painting of the sunflowers and just like, I don't know, very deep internet culture.
Yeah. I don't think I've seen that.
I'll show it to you later. Okay. But yeah, teen girls. It's no secret that the music industry is very reliant on teen girls as their main demographic. Or more like, yeah, teenagers as a whole, but teenage girls in a specific way for a long time. Because we've seen this phenomenon even with the Beatles. Mm-hmm. And I don't... you were going to say something.
Yeah, sorry, I was just going to say, I feel like they center their lifestyles around music more than other groups of people too.
Yeah, I think it's like, because it also has like that very visual component to it. For example, like Lana Del Rey, Marina and the Diamonds, Melanie Martinez, they had like at least in around 2014, I guess that was like where their peak mm-hmm. Tumblr times, you know, they had like this very specific aesthetic, not only in their lyrics, but also in their visuals, mm-hmm. that it was like so very captivating for this demographic, especially for me. I didn't really listen to Lana Del Rey when I was a teen, but I was like, oh, this is like a really cool aesthetic, and mm-hmm. I think it's something that draws them in at first, like, oh, this looks pretty cool, and then it's like the music.
I think that like when you listen to people as teens, it kind of like sticks with you for the rest of your life.
Yeah, my family still refers to me, well, not refers to me, but still asks me about like 21 Pilots mm-hmm. and things. And my sister, I think it's a very good example now that I think about it. Let me expose her. So she used to have like this huge crush on Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. So I remember she had like this cardboard of him in her room. Not anymore. She's cured now.
Wow, she got rid of it. Cure.
Yeah.
From Bieber fever.
Oh my god. Wait, wasn't there like this similar term to One Direction fans? Like
One
D infection or something?
God.
Nah, but teen girls, this is what I'm saying, like back to my sister, like she loved his music, and it was also like the very way that he had like the one song, One Last Lonely Girl, or mm-hmm. something like that, and just pulling girls out of the audience and sing that song to them. It's God. Like that's very parasocial, but it was very interesting for the psyche of a teenage girl.
It was like hypnotic for them.
Oh, Oh, yeah. There would be, like, crying in front of him.
I can't relate to that. I don't know why. Like, what separates me from other people who kind of do that? I've just always, like, appreciated their music, but I've never felt, like, that attached to an artist, I guess, like, emotionally.
I did with 21 Pilots, just not in the very, oh, my God, they're so hot. I want to, like, get on with them or something like that. Not in that way. It was just like, wow, they just, you get me. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what is it with the One Direction fans. Or even K-pop fans, now that I think about it. Oh my gosh, it.
Yes.
I think those are the ones we should be talking about, because mm-hmm. it's like, they have like their bias, or like, I don't know their names. Wait, I don't know their names. I cannot make
the joke.
You're
not a big K-pop person.
I am trying to get into it, mm-hmm. but I just don't know their names, and I just don't want to risk it. Mm-hmm. But it's like, this is my bias, this is my man, and it's only my man, so if you guys are even come close to him, you're gonna get it. But it's, again, like, this culture, this fangirl culture, now that I think about it. The Bieber fever, the 1D infection, I don't know how that one was called. Even nowadays with the K-pop phenomenon now coming to the Western world, it's like teenage girls are just telling you, this is what is going to be the biggest hit, and it becomes the biggest hit.
Do you, like, have any ideas of, like, what causes that dedication in them compared to other people?
Funnily enough, I did like a research on parasocial for one of my classes, and I think I'm still not very sure why it is specifically to teenage girls. Well, at least in terms with musicians, because if you think about it, teenage boys get that same reaction or phenomenon when it comes to athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a matter that kind of like socialization in terms of like, okay, so if men have like the athletes, then women get like the pretty things. So again, coming back into the terms of aesthetics. But if I had to guess why are women so, well, not women, again, teenage girls, like so attached to this kind of musicians, I think it's because like the idea that they're getting fit into like Lana Del Rey had like the Born to Die. That was the name of the album?
Yeah. Was it? I can't remember. Hold on.
Well, whatever, you guys get what I'm saying, like, yeah. the Rey aesthetic, yeah, with the is old money, old Hollywood, etc. Then Marina and the Diamonds with the Electric Heart. Oh, I love that album.
Oh,
the Electric Heart, just going like, oh, women are pretty powerful, and even if it's in terms of how I look and what I can do in terms of sex. Mm-hmm. And then Melanie Martinez with the very, I think, Lolita aesthetic kind of thing, just not like, you know, the stigmatized Lolita just looking like a child and mm-hmm. etc. Just incorporating like those aesthetics in a very committed way in their lyrics, so you don't even have to see their aesthetics, just listen to their music to know how they have a certain aesthetic.
Mm-hmm. I feel like all those artists have kind of alternate like personas compared to other artists too.
I think it could mm-hmm. be that like they're being fed into this persona that even if it's not like someone like 100% who they are, they're very committed to that persona, to the point that the person is like, I can feel like pieces of you coming through it that I just kind of relate to it. Because
mm-hmm.
overall, like parasocial relationships develop more because of the sense of like, I see some similarities between the two of us, even if they're not really there. There's some kind of intimacy in the terms of like, oh, you faced this thing that I also faced, but you're just able to label it in a way that I can feel some validation and comfort. And that then fits into like some interdependence of like, okay, I depend on you so I can get that sense of comfort, but you depend on me so you can have support as a musician. So that's like where the whole connection comes in. But with teenage girls, it's just very stigmatized, just because, and I think that's where misogyny kind of comes in, because it's like, oh, if it doesn't have to be with musicians only, but it's like, if something is liked mainly by teenage girls, they're just gonna stigmatize it and say that's not cool, that's very feminine, etc., etc. So it's like, and then they stigmatize the fans themselves as in, oh, you're just being hysterical about One Direction, when it's like just a bunch of guys, or even like, you know, just the whole things that they were saying for One Direction for a time, that they're like, oh, they're just like a bunch of gay dudes, and then like, oh, that didn't age well for you.
Yeah, it's not seen as legitimate either, which is really a shame.
And it is, because like, I'm gonna go back to another of the bands I like, for example, like Big Time Rush. Mm-hmm. I love them, and I'm glad that right now, like in 2022, they got like a little bit of attention back, because their songs were really good, but at the time they were like, nah, it's just a bunch of guys. You just like them because they're hot. Mm-hmm. It's just like invalidating why they like it, then by invalidating that, it's also like invalidating the art and the person themselves. I think there was, again, like, it's this idea of hysteria, which is a word commonly used for a woman, because you don't see it when men like get screaming and crying over like some guy that was able to like kick a ball.
I know. I don't understand.
And they don't really, and they get worse than a girl at a concert. They just, I remember they started like breaking stuff at one point.
That's embarrassing, honestly.
And it is embarrassing.
Why are you doing that?
But you never hear people say, oh, they're being hysterical. No, that term is only safe for a woman. So it's like completely misogynistic. Like, again, you don't see people calling a man hysterical for that. You do see them calling a girl hysterical for screaming and crying at a concert of someone they just really like. Mm-hmm.
Those men are identifying with those athletes in the same way, so it's kind of strange that they're not seen in like a similar light.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. It's just like, because the majority of women or girls specifically like it, it's just like it's looked like infantilized, as in like, oh, it's not like, it's kind of embarrassing to like it, why would you even like it, blah blah blah. But I remember I saw this one article. I don't have the name, but I do have the author. So it was like Julia Clark sharing in themedium.com that, quote, the content of the media consumed is irrelevant. If it is consumed by teenage girls, the emotional component of their engagement will completely erode any artistic integrity as it is perceived by outsiders. So it and I hate to sound like that person, but it's just very misogynistic mm-hmm. to say that. Hey, like, it doesn't really matter what you like, but if it's liked by a girl, then it's like, oh, then it means that it sucks, or it's not that really cool.
It's interesting, because if you like other genres that are male-dominated as a girl, you're kind of gatekept out of those genres.
And not only gatekept, but also, like, question, like, oh, tell me, like, this impossible fact that you wouldn't have known if you were, like, a casual fan.
Yeah. So it's like, you can't listen to genres that mostly other girls like, but you're also not allowed into the genres that are predominantly male. So it's like, what am I supposed to do? It's
suffer.
Crazy. Yeah.
Suffer. It's your fault for being a girl.
I'm honestly not sure, like, which one's worse.
I mean, it's still the same kind of pain. Yeah. It's just different. It's a different font. But going back to the whole music industry and teenage girls, yes, a lot of artists benefit from that. But there's also, like, I don't want to dismiss the LGBTQ+ community, because they also have, like, a huge influence.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the difference between, like, being labeled as a fan, like, casual fan, and fangirl, fanboy, or whatever.
Okay.
But obviously, we're going to focus on fangirl. It's just differently perceived, and it comes again into the idea of hysteria? Oh my god, how is it said? I say it, like, three times, and I forgot.
Hysteria, I think?
Hysteria. Yes. Mm-hmm. Thanks. So, like, this was pulled from the same article by Julia Clark. She mentioned how when you're, like, a fan and you see that your favorite thing or person is being, like, attacked just because of his fan base, then you kind of, like, downplay it. It's like, oh, so you like Lana Del Rey? Not really. I just listened to a couple songs. When in reality, you have, like, her whole discography in her room.
That was me when she started, like, during the pandemic when she was wearing, like, those clear masks. I had to be like, oh, yeah, I like her music, but I'm not that big of, like, a fan of her as a person.
Oh,
and, like, no. Meanwhile, like, I've dedicated so much of my life to, like, appreciating her interviews, her concerts, and stuff like
also
that.
Also, the message that she posted on
oh my
Instagram,
gosh, about, like, being represented. Culture. Yeah.
I remember a lot of people were like, Lana, I love you, but I cannot keep defending you.
Like, please relax. Like, just post music. Stop posting on Instagram.
Oh, my God. I feel so sorry for anyone who was, like, a Lana Del Rey fan around those times. I know you guys were struggling. And, again, stan accounts around Lana Del Rey were struggling to keep themselves, like, afloat.
You had to, like, remove her from your profile during that time so you don't get attacked randomly.
Yeah. And, like, it's basically that, just downplaying your interest when they are under attack. Or even if you don't downplay them and you're like, yeah, I'm a Lana Del Rey fan, or I'm a Melanie Martinez fan, or One Direction, Justin Bieber, although I don't know a lot of people who say they're a Justin Bieber fan nowadays.
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially with the Racism is Evil merch. That was...
I don't think I saw that.
I don't
keep up with him.
I don't either, but it popped out on my Twitter feed, mm-hmm. and I saw it, and I was like, you're making merch about this? And very vaguely, too, but whatever. But yeah, you can still say proudly your favorite musicians, etc., and still be judged in the same way you said it, that, oh, you know, they're just a bunch of gays just going around and singing, right? Or, like, oh, she wouldn't even care about you. Like,
that's true.
You really can't win, even if it's, like, if you like something girly, you either have the idea of, like, downplay it or be proud of it and be under attack. But if you like something masculine as a girl, you're either gatekept from men or just questioned multiple times about it. And it's just invalidating all of the interests that a teenage girl has. Again, it's not really the media that's consumed. It's rather who consumes it that gives it the image.
It's sad because it's like you can't participate with art or music or anything of those things at all.
No, and it's like, again, you either have to downplay it or just keep it to yourself. Mm-hmm. I think this was a topic touched upon in a lot of coming of age movies or series where like the main character likes something. Let's go with High School Musical, where Troy Bolton was like, oh yeah, I do basketball, but I also like singing. And a lot of people were like, why are you quitting this? It's kind of girl. I don't know if they say it's kind of girly, but I do remember.
It's implied.
Yeah. It's implied. Like you're just going around singing and acting whatever one should be focused on basketball. It's like validating his interest just because it's something like not commonly masculine. Mm-hmm. And then there's also like the Ryan character. But yeah, it was basically like Troy Bolton like having his interest invalidated just because it wasn't like masculine. But I'm pretty sure in other movies where it's like the girl, the main character being like, I'm not like other girls, where she's constantly said like, oh, you can do like the mainly part of this activity. And she's like, actually, I'd rather do this, whatever. But it's just constantly.
God, I hate movies like that.
I hate them too. Like the Mean Girls too, mm-hmm. They do that.
And oh my gosh. That movie, they should not have made that. That's all I have to say.
They should not. But,
like, the official Mean Girls was fine the way it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But,
for High School Musical, you know, like, I feel like Sharpay has gotten a lot of justice, like, in recent times.
As she should.
Yeah, because she was passionate about what she was doing, but because she was, like, a girl, it wasn't taken as seriously.
Let alone, like, just going off a tangent, it wasn't just because she was a girl, it's because she knew, like, she was very dedicated mm-hmm. to her craft, and a lot of people saw her, like, as the Mean Girl. Just because she was like, oh, you guys shouldn't be, like, the leads of this play because you have, like, 2 months of experience and I have years, which is very validated. And it's just, like, painted as a villain.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, she still didn't really care about it. She was like, yeah, whatever. You can think whatever you want about me, but I'm pretty sure of my talent. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, go Sharpay.
That's true. Like, that element of confidence isn't appreciated in girls, I guess. It's kind of, this is off like a tangent, but like with pretty girls, if you know like you're pretty and you're really confident and happy about it, people hate that. But like if you're like insecure or like more like shy or calm about it, then people are more likely to support you. So I feel like that's kind of why like Gabriella kind of got more support as a singer or whatever, like just because she was more shy and she wasn't as like confident and like straightforward about her interest in music.
Girl really didn't even know what she wanted. She was like, oh, I want to be like a chemist, but I also like singing and I also like my this guy from basketball. He seems pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And Sharpay was like, nah, I know what I want. I want to go into musical theater. And for some reason, even though she was like, Sharpay, I'm talking about, she was like dedicated to her craft. Everyone was like, no, Gabriella, you should expand your horizons. Yeah. We're going to support you and fit into this indecisiveness rather than saying, you know what, Sharpay, you're right. You have more experience. You should take the lead. It was like I get that it was an addition, but it wasn't fair.
It wasn't.
But anyways, thank you, High School Musical. But yeah, like, it's just an invalidation of teenage interests when you're just proud of them. Either way, like, whether you're, like, downplaying it or just, it's kind of like assimilation now that I think about it.
Yeah, so, like, that element of, like, just support and, like, obsession, I guess, isn't, like, accepted in teenage girls. You have to, like, downplay your interest in music. So, like, you can't be a fangirl. You just have to be a fan, like, uh-huh. How you're saying.
Mm-hmm. And the thing is that fangirls are, like, again, and we said it, like, they really do define the music industry. They know what's going to be the next big hit, like, One Direction, BTS. I don't know right now who's, like, the big, I guess, Harry Styles, which, still One Direction. But, like, they like them for a reason. Like, if you go back and listen to any One Direction songs, it's probably going to be catchy.
Mm-hmm. They're catchy and fun to listen to. It's not just, like, like children's music. Like, there's an element of, like, effort in their music that I saw.
Yeah, and going more nowadays with Harry Styles' latest album, it was, like, it has, like, a lot of good songs. And one of the people I interviewed for one of my projects, they talked about how there's this one song that really hits. Just because it talks about something very personal to him. And it's just being vulnerable. And that's exactly why a lot of fangirls connect. Because they see like some kind of vulnerability. Or something that it's rarely seen in other musicians. So for example, back in 2012, One Direction, there was like 5 guys short. Mm-hmm. But there were 5 guys that were still very dedicated to their fan base. That they listened to them. And that's fitting into that, oh, I'm going to support you because you're cool. No, I'm going to support you because you're actually putting in the effort to help me in some way.
Do you feel like Harry Styles is viewed as more legitimate now than when he was in One Direction?
I definitely think so, because like in One Direction, I feel that it was a lot of the stigma of, oh, they just look like a... I know I'm saying this a lot, but that was like the stereotypes I grew up with when a lot of people were talking about One Direction, that they look kind of gay, that they were way too feminine, mm-hmm. et cetera, et cetera. But I think right now he's being more legitimized, not in the terms of acting, because if you've seen Don't Worry, Darling...
I haven't seen it.
Well, don't. Okay, listen. I don't hate Harry Styles. I actually like his music. I don't like his acting. Mm-hmm.
Was he like a main role in it?
He was the main male character.
They need to go back like to the 90s when they had like, I guess like artists. Yeah. When artists were in it, they played themselves and it was like a cameo, like woo! And then that's it. They don't actually play like real roles or anything.
Absolutely.
But now like anyone can play anything.
We talked about a little bit about this in the nepotism mm-hmm. one, but like stay in your lane. Stop. Unless you're like an actor, like mm-hmm. again the cameos thing, like the Harry
yeah they play themselves and then like everybody, like it's kind of like they break the fourth wall and the iCarly like, oh
episode
yeah
the iCarly episode.
I like that they that just need to like keep funny. It
they somebody said, do you think Harry Styles keeps the iCarly episode in his acting credits?
Oh my gosh.
And I hope he does, because that was funny. But besides the whole acting thing, that I'm pretty sure a lot of people are gonna tell me that yeah, you're right, he was weird in that or something. He was okay. He wasn't the best. It was just pretty obvious that he is not like a professional actor, because mm-hmm. you have like Miss Flo, you have Chris Pine. Oh my God, I love him. But etc. But in terms of music, I definitely do think that he's being validated, because he's one of those artists that listens. He listens to his fans. And I think in one of my interviews, I'm going to refer back to it. In one of my interviews, they told me that, oh, he just provides me this sense of comfort. Like, even if it's not physical, mm-hmm. I do feel like a sense of comfort in my own bubble that I know that no one can really take away from me. So not only is he validated, like, in terms of fans, but also, like, if you go to any news, just search up Harry Styles, it's probably going to say a lot about how he has a Grammy. I'm pretty sure he has. Mm-hmm. Like, he's receiving awards. His performances are really good. He puts, like, a lot of effort into them. Especially in concerts, he still interacts with his fans, like reading the posters, the signs, and anything. But his music is just pretty interesting right now, and especially now that he's diving into a little bit more vulnerable topics. Because mm-hmm. to me, his music so far, it has seemed very just going to the vibes, which is not bad. We need music that's fun to listen. Mm-hmm. But I do see how he's being more validated as an artist nowadays rather than just a pretty boy who can sing in 2012.
It's interesting because I feel like he's one of the only few artists where his fan base has grown with him instead of completely abandoning him. Because I know a lot of the girls who I guess I grew up with who listen to One Direction, they still like his music now, but they're not teenagers anymore.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, you grew up with the artist, so you go from being like a teenage girl, from having like a silly little crush on this whatever guy, or having like a silly little admiration towards this other woman or etc. You grow up to being like a person, a woman, that it's pretty much said that I have this relationship with this artist, even though if it's not like a crush or admiration, I've grown up with them, they've grown up with me. And it's just a relationship that really goes despite the years, unless you have some crazy controversy, like not wearing a mask or wearing a mask that's more like a mesh. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it just kind of grows with you. And sometimes you may grow out of it. Mm-hmm. My sister grew out of her Justin Bieber face. Thank you. But a lot of the Harry Styles fans that used to be Directioners, they grew up with him. A lot of people that grew up with Marina and the Diamonds may probably still follow her, mm-hmm. et cetera. It's a lot about still seeing the artist as authentic, but still having like that nostalgia of, I grew up with you and I know who you were and you made me better or something like that.
Yeah. It's nice that he didn't have to completely like abandon his audience to become more legitimate too.
I think he expanded on that. Yeah. Like, rather than just, I don't know if he writes his own lyrics. I'm going to say that he does for the sake of argument. But obviously, there's like a difference between One Direction songs and Harry Styles songs.
Now, yeah.
It's, again, it's still pretty pleasant to listen to. It's pretty groovy. It's pretty 70s, etc. But it has an element of maturity. Mm-hmm. And I could say the same with Marina and the Diamonds, because her songs right now, like in Electro Heart, it was very not misogynistic, but very hyper feminine.
Yes,
like bubblegum word I cannot say. I'm gonna say bubblegum B.
Yeah.
How to Be a Heartbreaker? It's very
prima donna, definitely. Yeah.
Art. Oh my god. But then fast forward to her latest album, there's like this song called Man's World, Asian Dreams in a Lost Land. I don't know if that's the right name, but again, like an element of maturity, but they haven't really lost their essence. It mm-hmm. just has evolved. And that's where like the whole casual fan, it's like, oh yeah, I listen to a couple of their songs, but like the fangirl has the ability of like growing up with them and exploring faces of herself in the same way that the artist does. Even if it's invalidated. And I feel that the fangirls that are like, okay, yeah, I don't really care if you seem like this way, kind of grew up to be pretty resilient.
I like those people.
I like them.
Yeah.
So why are we even talking about teenage girls in a podcast about local artists? That's pretty easy. They just know how to bump up something to success. We've seen it a lot. The Beatles, even though I didn't knew that this until Amara told me like a while ago that the Beatles was actually bumped up by teenage girls. And now they're one of the biggest bands that men want to gatekeep. So it's a cycle. It's a circle of life. But again, they just know what's going to hit and what's not. So again, when a teenage girl likes something, she really likes it.
It's like supporting their friends. Like yeah. You see them on Twitter like saying, okay, we should all stream this and try to get the numbers up. But with other fans, you don't really see that type of, I guess, like, what's the word?
For what?
Like, like thought out, I guess, like, that type of thought out effort for promoting someone, I don't really see that with other demographics.
Oh, yeah. If you go to, I feel that the strongest places are Instagram and Twitter, mm-hmm. where there's like a lot of stan accounts. There's like, there's always like, let's go with Taylor Swift, just because she has like a strong fan base right now, uh-huh. and she's practically untouchable, etc. If you go to a Swifties, whatever, you're going to see like, oh, Miranda, and between parentheses, Taylor's yes. version. It's like, it's a very dedication, mm-hmm. like having the whole account or on social media, whether that's Instagram or Twitter, to dedicate to their fan, to their artist, I'm sorry. And that can either be to just make like silly TikToks about it, make silly jokes or whatever. But it can also like share the latest news in terms of like, hey, so she said that she's going to release this song and whatever. Or she has like a lot of fans that do not conspiracy theories, but theories in terms of like when she's going to do a whole new re-recording or whatever. Mm-hmm. But like you were saying, it's like treating to a friend, like helping them out. And that was actually like a point I wanted to say, that they do like this whole listening parties in terms of like, hey, so this song just came out, let's do a listening party to bump it out to 1 million streams mm-hmm. in whatever year. So they take a like a fun game to do in terms of like, let's bump their music up until they have a certain number, or let's see how far we can go.
Yeah, I feel like they're more likely to buy, I guess, like merch and stuff too, because it's so tied to their identities. And since streaming isn't as big of, it doesn't have as big of a role in an artist's mm-hmm. income compared to like things like merch sales and like concert tickets. So I feel like they just do a really good job of supporting artists and like actually like giving them their money, because like for fans, I just listen to their music. I might not necessarily go to their concerts or buy their merch, but I still like them. But if you're a fangirl, you like, you do everything. You go to their concerts, you buy their merch, and you just really support them.
And even if you don't have money to do all of those things, mm-hmm. you find ways, right? Something like, I did this fan art about this particular piece of a music video that I liked. Here it goes. And it's a certain type of promotion. Like, they do this marketing strategies without even knowing. Yeah. Like, they're the masterminds of publicity and marketing. I don't understand. Because there's, like, this whole, again, there's the listening parties. There's the fan art contests that I've seen people do. And even just doing, like, a few small giveaways in terms of, like, hey, so I don't want to have this these two albums now because I got new ones or something. So they do giveaways. I don't know. So they just find a way to create this whole community around this whole artist, and it just bumps out their success until they just define the music industry again, just do a complete 180, a shift into it in terms of like, oh, the music industry is what we listen, so suck it up to it.
Yeah, and because they're so plugged in, their marketing is honestly more effective than more like traditional marketing teams. Because, like, I guess they understand the culture, kind of like with Lil Nas, how you were talking about his post, how there's just, like, lore for the internet that you have to understand to be able to, I guess, communicate effectively with other people. So, like, I guess with traditional marketing, they try to have, like, their artists, like, post TikToks and stuff. But those TikToks, sometimes they come across as, like, cold and just, like, disconnected, because it's, like, they're not as familiar with, like, TikTok culture and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I think something that a lot of marketing companies are like starting to realize is that fans have like a much stronger hold.
Yeah, they have like a bigger grasp of everything.
Yeah, so they just find ways to make the art, to make the fans do their work for them, which is unfair because they get unpaid.
Yeah,
but
unpaid labor.
But yeah, they totally understand like the whole culture around. They understand their inside jokes because they are insiders. So for example, and I'm gonna be quoting a lot of Taylor Swift because I am so surprised at how many trends her latest album was able to spark. Like the whole Bejeweled, there's like a dancing step for it. The Karma has like Karma song has become like an audio for when there's like a trope happening in the fan fiction. I'm forgetting, like, there was way too many. I can only remember two, and I know there was at least five, and that was only between the fans. I know there's no way a corporation could have been able to come up with those trends. It just happened. As soon as that album Midnights dropped, people were working on finding the next trend on TikTok. So it's like, wow. It's the definition of working day and night because it's something that they're passionate about, and that's where the whole connection comes from.
Yeah, that passion just creates an element of creativity that I just, like, marketing teams just, they can't create it on their own.
They don't have the same power. They don't have that. It's not that magic. It's like, it comes up pretty cold and honestly pretty lifeless.
Yeah, it's out of their range.
But anyways, so as we have talked the whole script down, let's talk about our own experiences as teenagers. So you said Lana Del Rey, Marina and the Diamonds.
I'm trying to think about, like, what role they played for me. I guess at the time, I was, like, just really moody and sad. And they were, like, moody and too, but they, like, made it beautiful, I guess. And I was more used to, like, the traditional kind of you beauty where, like, you're soft and you're gentle and delicate. But they were, like, very dark and still, like, beautiful and, like, captivating in that way. So I feel like that was really important for me. And honestly, I feel like I still kind of view beauty in that way too. Like, the women that I admire now, they're more mature. They're more, like, I guess, kind of laid back and, like, they keep to themselves. Rather than being, like, those type of, like, kind of out there people who are really, like, hyper-feminine in, like, a traditional way. Not in the way that, like, Lon and Marina are. So I feel like that's really what kind of made them so important to me at the time.
For me, I said it was 21 Pilots. It's not necessarily a boy band.
Yeah.
And it's not, like those artists that you mentioned. So I just kind of liked them because for me it was, like, raising awareness about, like, a topic that at the time was very taboo, mental health and everything. And again, it was my emo phase. I'm pretty sure I'm still having my emo phase.
I'm emo now, so
it's because I'm going back into my Chemical Romance eras. So I'm like, what is going on? But as I was saying, it's like I was pretty moody at the time. And in 2015, 21 Pilots released Blurry Face, which was like the grungiest album at the moment. So I was like, oh my God, this album is my whole personality. And as I see it, that the way that influenced me right now, I think that it made me pretty empathic is that how I say it? Empathic to other people, because it's like they talked about like their own problems as saying, oh, this is what I'm feeling and I know that it's gonna make you feel bad, but it's just how I feel. But I see myself like going more towards like talking about those kind of topics, and I never, because I was like into a boy band that wasn't real, well, not boy band. Because I wasn't into a boy band that was like pretty much, oh, you're very pretty, you're very beautiful or whatever. I didn't really put a lot of attention to my looks at the time. I was just very focused into like how I communicated with others. But I do think that in the bad quote unquote way in which they affected me, it's that now I take a lot of things a little too seriously.
Yeah. Okay,
so I'm like, damn, that sucks. I'm learning, which is why I'm trying to make my podcast boys less professional right now. I realized that. I was like,
you want to make it more casual?
Because like I started the episode, not this one, others. I'm like, hello everyone, welcome back to Focus. That was awful, but welcome back to Local Ambition Podcast or whatever. And I was like, yo, nah, I gotta live it down. But yeah, so yeah, I feel that a lot of the things that I liked when I was younger, like obviously like came back to me right now as I'm seeing it. With Melanie Martinez, I definitely got the whole grungy thing that you said, like very not hyper feminine, and I didn't get the whole Lolita aesthetic, but I did get the hey, like a lot of women, even though they're like super pretty, they're still gonna be insecure. So I never felt insecure about my looks because of that. So I'm like, thank God.
Yeah, I really like those people who are kind of like subversive in that way. It just makes me, I guess it makes me more comfortable with not like exactly fitting in all the time, which I'm really into.
Yeah.
So, like, because of artists like that, I feel like I grew up not really being bothered by, like, more traditional things. So I feel like that's been really helpful for, like, giving me that sense of individuality that I have now.
No, yeah. And I know that we talked about Instagram, Twitter, and even TikTok, mm-hmm. but we didn't talk about, like, the major media for teenage girls in 2012 or 2015. Tumblr, which is not dead. And I know a lot of people think it's, like, this cringy place, but it's just, like, the surface to keep away people. I've seen it.
Did you see the tweet that was, like, this is, like, the equivalent of, like, firing shots in the neighborhood to keep... to keep the housing prices down. It was like this super cringy like Tumblr post like, hey, this
wait,
is
no, yeah.
It was because Elon like messed up Twitter or whatever.
Oh, yeah. he messed up Twitter in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people tried to like immigrate to Tumblr.
Yeah, it was
and
that.
like you said, it's like I saw that post. I remember it because they used like the supernatural gifts.
Yeah.
The like, Rihanna gift.
That is not like, what Tumblr's hello. Like.
And it's like Tumblr is not like that, trust me. But
that's so funny to me. That's like my exact sense of humor. It was just like so stupid, but it was perfect.
It was really stupid, and whoever wrote it, thank you for firing the shots. but you know, yeah, Tumblr at the time. Oh my god, that sounds so old.
It was a long time ago, though, like almost 10 years ago.
It was 10 years ago. Whatever. But no, yeah, Tumblr at the time, it was like the place where you would do your GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call them. Where you would do like this whole edits, for example, like the Lana songs. I know that we would put it like in black and white or in sepia tones.
Yeah.
And just put like that one lyrics, for example, like, will you still love me when I'm not young and beautiful?
Oh my gosh.
But they would put it like in italics mm-hmm. and super beautiful.
And then like some was, like moody like gif in the background.
Yeah, to sound moody, and everyone was like, oh my god, that's exactly who I am. And it's
it's weird because she's actually having a resurgence now with like the coquette aesthetic. Have mm-hmm. you seen it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like, it's interesting, because it's, like, I grew up with that, and now, like, this new generation's also, like, going through the same thing, except it's on TikTok now instead of on Tumblr.
I mean, I think I would talk about the differences, but I'm not really on TikTok. I know that Tumblr is very grungy, or wants to be grungy. Mm-hmm. It was pretty aesthetic. I remember that Tumblr at the time, it was pretty aesthetic, because when they posted, like, some mood boards, mm-hmm. they would put, like, for example, with Arctic Monkeys, mood boards, they would put like everything black and then like a few lyrics from AM.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, this is pretty dope. But I don't really see that with TikTok. With mm-hmm. TikTok, I feel that everybody is just hyperly open with whatever they said. So I remember the other trend. So with Mastermind from Midnights, I remember that a lot of people were exposing themselves about how they manipulated the world so they could have like their current boyfriend.
Oh, okay.
So it's like it sounds worse how I'm saying it.
No,
but it was like pulling the strings basically. So it's like this is how people are engaging with their favorite artists right now with teenage girls. I don't see if they like gatekeep as much as they did. I don't think they do.
They still talk about locals a little. Like, oh, keep this song away from the locals and stuff that. But it's not really the same.
I mean, that's not really going to go away anytime soon. Like, I get it. But Tumblr, like, it was just this mind of just explaining, like, this. I remember they had, like, this deep analysis of whatever songs or albums about whatever artist is at the point. And I feel that Tumblr was, like, that not setting stone, but backbone of like the teenage girl.
It definitely was
thing, because it's like, again, you find your community, you have your deep analysis, you had your mood boards, mm-hmm. you have your little gifs of like, you get me, those gifs, and just overall finding your community. And that just kind of evolved again into just emigrated to Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then I guess Twitter has like a very different approach, because they still have those threads about like analyzing the song or music video. But I feel
it's not as aesthetic on Twitter.
No,
yeah.
That's the sad part. No other social media will ever have the aesthetic that Tumblr has. So, but I feel that in Twitter, it's like where people talk about like their unpopular opinions.
Yeah,
which are a lot of the times are not unpopular. They're just not said.
Yeah, a lot of the opinions I've seen, like the unpopular opinions, they're just like rehashed opinions that like most people agree with already.
And it's almost always an excuse to fight with someone.
Yeah.
Because they're always like, you don't get this song and whatever, blah, blah, blah. Or you should not be talking about the song because the artist said that, blah, 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 blah.
I'm pretty sure everybody gets the song. It's okay.
It's okay. Yeah. And then Instagram, it's pretty much Twitter and Tumblr together, because you're still able to do your mood boards. Mm-hmm. And you can do the screenshots of tweets, so it's like, okay, perfect. TikTok, I'm kind of scared. I don't know what it is, because everyone is just super open about everything. So I'm like, what? But yeah, so anything else you want to add about your own experience as a teenage girl?
I feel like you kind of grow out of it eventually. Like, it still sticks with you, but you kind of, I guess you evolve more. Because now my music taste is a lot more evolved than it was when I was mm-hmm. younger.
I agree. I'm still listening to the same bands I used to listen when I was a teenage girl, but now I kind of expanded. Like you said, you just kind of evolved. Mm-hmm. I feel like you just kind of grew up with the teenage girl, because like when you're like a fangirl, I feel that you gain a lot of skills, because a lot of people put like a lot of effort into knowing how to edit videos.
Yeah, they're good. They're like actual editors. Like, no, those, that's people, what I'm saying. It's crazy. Like, I see their edits and I'm like, whoa, like, it's,
that's what
giving
you see professional. On that's yeah. what you see on TikTok, the whole fan edits about whatever video, and it's like, wow. But yeah, like, you get a lot of skills. You get to know yourself from another mm-hmm. in another way that just kind of carries out with you. It's just that it's not as hormonal as it used to be. It's not anymore to the point where it's the only thing you talked about. Yeah. I guess you just kind of grow out of it. But
like, you evolve, yeah. Like, when I was younger, it was so, like, cringy. It was so, like, one-dimensional. Like, you know, like, the book, like, Lolita? I would, like, see, like, the post of it on Tumblr, then I literally bought it, and then, like, I would, like, bring it to school and, like, just be putting it. Like, oh, I'm, like, this moody, like, artsy girl. Like,
you it's guys just don't disturbing. Get, you yeah. guys don't get it. I don't understand why you, like, guys are watching those movies when you should be listening yeah. or reading
Lolita. I was, like, 13 and, like, reading that. Like, you don't need to be reading that. Like, I could barely understand, like, half the words he was even saying.
I think that's the downside yeah. when you're, like, a teenage girl and the artist you, like, tend to talk about topics, like, that you don't understand. Yeah. Like, Lana, right, I kind of blame you for that one. Yeah. Because it's, like, how are you a teenage girl of 14 years old saying, we were born to die? Yeah. I don't understand. And it's, or saying something like, I'm trying to think about Marina lyrics, like,
she talked about, like, drugs and stuff occasionally.
Oh, she did. But I was yeah. thinking on the Bubblegum Bee, that the song I cannot say.
Yeah.
Because of whole rules that I cannot say. Mm-hmm. But basically, like,
oh, like, I play with men, like, I have fun, then
thank
I leave.
You.
Like, stuff like, just, like, that kind of vibe. Just when you're younger, you don't really have, like, I guess, like, the new, like,
critical thinking.
Yeah. You don't have, like, the skills to think, like, okay, like, I don't need to be doing this. It's very, like, a one-dimensional approach to music. Like, oh, my favorite artist does this, so I should do it, too. But yeah. when you're older, you can just kind of, like, appreciate the story, but not necessarily copy it.
Yeah, I feel that you just become, like, a more casual, but sometimes you can still be devoted to the artist. For yeah. example, like, Harry Styles fan, going back to those that grew into whoever they are, they still buy merch, they still listen to their music, they may relate to it, but it's not like they're gonna make their personality about it.
Yeah,
like,
you still have your own identity.
Yeah, you still have your own identity when you're, which is different from when you're like a teenage girl, where if you listen to Lana Del Rey, you have cigarettes for breakfast, you listen to you read to Lolita, and you have an obsession with sugar daddies. Mm-hmm. Nah, it's not like that. So that's the downside with teenage girls. But overall, teenage girls are a force to not be reckoned with. So, 45-minute mark. Mara, closing remarks.
So, I guess, like, the lack of identity that you have as a teenager, I guess that's kind of, like, the biggest thing that kind of makes them such good fans. Mm-hmm. While it's good for the music industry, it's just nice to see people grow out of it as they get older.
I feel that it's also, like, something nice to look back at. Yeah. Because it's like, oh, that's kind of cringy on me, but, like, look at me now. It's mm-hmm. like, I'm now making this whole lyrics my personality. I'm no longer thinking about tattooing it on my arm yeah. or whatever. But it's also like something that, again, it's that whole factor in nostalgia where you're just like, oh, I remember I used to like this artist a lot. Or, oh, I remember when this artist was this way and so was I. And now look at us. Look at where we are. Mm-hmm. We kind of changed. So it's like, it's very nice. It's very nostalgic.
Yeah. Having really like severe phases like that, I guess. It just it gives you something, yeah, really like nice to look back on. It's nice to, like, just really be able to think, like, oh, this was the time in my life when I was, like, obsessed with this, and this is the time in my life when I was doing this. Like, it's really nice.
No, yeah. And, again, it's just part of the process of growing.
Yeah.
So, anyway, so teenage girls, forced to not be reckoned with, they absolutely know what's going to hit, so you better listen to them. And even if, as a local artist, I feel that you're able to, well, you should always keep in mind that you may have an influence on people, but obviously, like, when it comes to teenagers, it's like, be careful, because they can be doing their whole personality around whatever album. But nonetheless, there's always the nostalgic element. Mm-hmm. So anyways, everyone, that is it for this episode. As always, my name's Melissa. Melissa, you can always find me on Instagram as mel_flowers. And Amara, I know what you're going to say.
Who has yet to make an Instagram.
But she is on it, because right now she's focused on saving the semester and saving her event credits for KCR.
I am. I have to be super involved. So yeah, I'll be on it.
Anyways, we are going to wrap this up right here. Thank you everybody so much for listening. Please stay tuned for the next episode. And as always, support your local artist. Bye-bye.